This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
We're going to be continuing our money conversation of last week. We talked a little bit about boundaries, and tonight we're wanting to look at how parents can help enforce the financial boundaries within the household that they've set with their teens. Wendy, hello.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for joining us tonight. So again, another great topic to be talking about. What are your thoughts on how parents can really help establish these boundaries and shape that financial responsibility?
Well, as we talked about last week, you know, having set boundaries, clear boundaries, everyone knows where they stand, is the best place to start. You know, I have this scenario. We were all sitting around our family table and my youngest is like a little wise old owl, and he piped up all of a sudden to one of his older siblings who was about to turn 18 and said, "Hey, buddy, you better get mum to buy your undies." And we all looked at him like, "Why?" And he goes, "Because once you're 18 in this house, you have to get your own, buy your own clothes."
Oh, he's wise to it. See, he was ready to stock up for the future.
Yeah, so he knew, but he knew at a young age he'd observed it and listened to the conversation. So straight away, there's an establishment. So there's no arguments around that. Of course, for their birthdays, we'll buy them, you know, birthday presents, clothes, whatever. But there's clarity. When there's clarity, arguments are much less likely to happen. So with that, then you've got to work out, how do you establish that? How do you live that out?
Mm. And is that something that, I guess it will, it's an obvious answer, it would vary between each household, but do you think there's some key things about how you do make that work?
Absolutely. I think you teach by consequence, not by yelling.
That's wisdom right there.
And you also teach by you know, just allowing things to happen. You don't nag. That's the other thing. You know, some parents are naggers and some parents are yellers, and neither of them work. Neither of them, it's like they, you know, they tune off. It's like la, la, la. You know, they block their ears. They just do not hear any of it. The thing that is the most powerful message for them, the thing that actually teaches responsibility, is allowing them to feel the consequence, allowing them to struggle a little bit. It's okay if they feel they miss out on the movie or they miss out on something that everyone else is doing because they spent all their money earlier in the month, or they decided not to work three shifts this week, then they can't, you know, run their car. They'll feel that themselves. It's the biggest teacher, you know, and they're the things that we take into our adult life. We're actually doing our kids a favour by allowing them to feel it in a safe environment, by allowing to know what it's like to go without or what it's like to feel to save as well and budget.
And I suppose that's where one of the difficult areas for parents is, because when you're a teen and you're watching them struggling those ways, there's that aspect of guilt where you're like, I really want them to be able to go. I don't want them to miss out, as you say. So I suppose it's having that awareness then that of the fact that you're helping them and training them, that the guilt factor is diminished for the parents as well.
Oh, absolutely, and it is. You know, you see particularly the kids having a hard week and, you know, all their friends are going to a movie. It'd be so easy to go, "Oh, okay, I'll do it this once." You know, but then next time, they won't learn the same lesson. They won't learn the lesson. So, yes, realise that it's the opposite. You shouldn't be guilty. You're actually doing your kids a favour. You're actually teaching them the things that they need, the life skills. And if it's done nicely, you know, when they come to you and you say, they say, "I want money," and you say to them, "Look, I understand, I really feel for you not being able to go to the movie, but if I give that money to you now, you won't learn." Look, they may get really annoyed at you at that moment.
There might be a tantrum.
Remain calm. Nagging won't work. Just be very clear, concise. And look, you know, this, if this is a new scenario, you have never done this in your house before and there have been a lot of wars over money or responsibility, it's going to take some time. So don't expect it to all of a sudden happen straight away. The important thing is not to engage in the arguments with them and not to rescue them. And if you just gently say, you know, "I'm sorry, I can't give you this money because you'll never learn." And if they slam a door and walk off, look, that's fine. But before you know it, there will be none of that because they'll just know what's expected.
Yeah, and I suppose in an emergency situation, it's fine to pitch in where they need it, like if it was a drastic situation. But then as a general standard, this would be your base kind of a thing.
Oh, completely. You know, it's not about being harsh. It's about being... But it's actually about being a responsible parent, teaching your kids responsibility about money, because most people come unstuck in their adult lives because of money problems in their marriages and losing their home, you know. So you're actually doing them a favour, and I agree, you know, if your kid was really struggling and you could see that they tried to establish themselves financially, of course you would support them, and it's not about that. You are there for them, and that's the whole point. They are actually in a safe environment to struggle and work it out. You know, you're not going to say, "Sorry, buddy, you've got no roof over your head." You know, you messed up and spent your pocket money, you're on the streets. It's not like that. It's the opposite. It's a supportive environment, a supportive teaching environment.
Yeah, I suppose one other thing we should, before we finish up, just think about on this is how much control should parents have over the way their kids spend money? Because obviously in those teenage and formative years, the parents have a lot more say over what their kids are actually spending money on. But then as you move into your 20s and like later adulthood, that element of control, I suppose, is more, you know, it's further and further apart. So in those early years, how much control should the parents have and how much say should the teens have, do you think?
Look, I think it's all about the risk of consequence. So, you know, if you spent all your money on ice creams at the age of 13, you know, it's not going to ruin your life.
Maybe just your teeth, a little bit.
True, Laura, true. You know, it's all about risk of consequence. So it's a safe environment to learn. Where possible, just step right back and let them choose. That's the way that seems to work, as they, because then they learn it themselves. They learn, you know, if I spent all my money, I've got none left. So I think as much as you can, and remember that what is important to you as a parent is not necessarily what's important to them. And they learn that value of money as they're able to manage it themselves. And by the time they're in their 20s, you should not be saying at all what they should be spending it on. Unless your young adult is living under your roof and they're working full-time, then maybe they should be paying board. That would be the only stipulation. But apart from that, they have to manage their own car. So it's age-appropriate, obviously.
Yeah, Wendy, thank you so much again for your thoughts tonight, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thanks, Laura.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.